and 33, or 31 and 32. Don't want to jump too far ahead of myself here tonight. I've got this message that I'm wanting to share. Amen. Just trusting the Lord's help, encouragement to really bring it alive. Amen. I mean, it's one thing to have a message, but it's another thing to bring it alive to where it your thoughts begin to embrace the thoughts that are trying to come across in this message here tonight. I want to preach to us on exercised by grace. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 31 and 32, it says, "For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies." Amen. I want to read that one more time. "For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies." Amen. Father in heaven, we praise your mighty name, and we thank you, Lord God, for the mercy that you do show unto us, the multitude of mercy. And God, we pray, Lord God, for this message tonight, Lord, that you would just enlighten us and strengthen us and encourage us. Lord, that it will work the purpose, God, that you have planned for our hearts and our minds and our lives tonight. God, just let your grace abound. And Lord, let your anointing rest upon us. Father, we praise you for the possibilities that you have put before us, the opportunities that we have to choose from this night. Help us, O God, to choose wisely. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. You can be seated again tonight, exercised by grace. Hallelujah. Now, the word exercise, we pretty well have a general idea of what exercise is. Some folks love it. Some folks tolerate it, and some folks just really don't like it. Exercise. And the definition tonight is to put in practice, to use, to train by use, to improve by practice, to give exercise to. And here's a strange one, but yet, as you begin to think about it, to trouble, to wield, to exercise. Exercised by grace. I don't know if you're familiar. If you've owned horses or are familiar with horses, you realize that from time to time, you need to exercise your horse. In other words, what that means is you need to get them out. Now, if you've got them out in a pasture, wide open spaces, you're not really going to have to do this because they're going to do it on their own. They're going to be out there roaming. You can look out there from time to time, and horses would just be running, jumping, kicking, just going crazy out there for just because the wind's blowing. I mean, that's just how horses are. But if your horse is in a stable and in a pen, then you have to purposely get them out and exercise them to keep them strong, to keep them healthy. Amen. So with that in mind, I want you to start wrapping your mind around grace and being exercised by grace. Hallelujah. In Jeremiah chapter 46 and verse 28, it says, "Fear thou not, O Jacob my servant, saith the Lord, for I am with thee. For I will make a full end of all nations whither I have driven thee, but I will not make a full end of thee. But correct thee in measure, yet will I not leave thee wholly unpunished." Amen. So God's giving a promise to the children of Israel. This is Jeremiah. So this Jeremiah is the prophet that continued to bring the judgment of God upon the children of Israel. He began to speak to them because of their pernicious ways, because of their rebellious ways, because of their lack of taking heed that God was going to bring punishment upon them. But all through that book of Jeremiah, you always find God letting them know that it will not last forever. I'm doing this because you need it. I'm doing this because you won't listen. But I'm not going to do it to the point where you're totally destroyed. But I'm going to do it to the point to where you're ready to come back and serve me. Amen. Exercised by grace. Isaiah 54 and 7 says, "For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee." Once again, God speaking to the children of Israel. Once again, this one possibly hasn't come to pass yet in the sense of its complete fulfillment, because as you know, we are living in the dispensation of grace. We are living in the time of the gospel going to the Gentiles. We're living in a time where the Jews have been set aside and God has taken the gospel to the whole world. But then there is coming a time when the fullness of the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled, and God will then turn around and then begin to work wonderfully and miraculously with a Jew in the 7 years of tribulation. Amen. I'm not preaching on prophecy tonight, but I'm just giving you insight to God's promises to the children of Israel. And I'm giving this insight to lay the ground for the promises that He's given to you and I as His children, as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The promises that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will always be there, but there are times that He's going to exercise us by His grace. There are times that He's going to have to test us by His grace. There are times it's going to seem like that He's not there by His grace. There are times when it seems like it's too difficult, it's too hard, I can't bear this by His grace. Hallelujah. In other words, He's working a perfect work in our hearts and in our lives. Hallelujah. And especially those times when He doesn't hear from us. And He comes looking for us. And then He has to begin to exercise us by His grace. Now I've got something here. This is an exercise piece of equipment. It weighs approximately 20 pounds. You wouldn't think 20 pounds weighed a whole lot, would you? Come here, Michael. Grab it on both sides. Grab it on the handles right there. You ready? All right. All right. Let it go down and then pick it back up. Ooh. One more time. Ooh, yeah. Was that fun? Was it work? Yeah. I could see it on your face. I mean, even if I do that, that's work. That's supposed to be fun. You know, that's exercise. You know, you're laughing. Come here, Tony. Grab it on both sides. Yeah, just let it down to your knees and then curl it back up. There you go. One more time. Yeah. Oh, look at the look on that face. Ooh, yeah. See, exercise. You know, I'm notorious for if it's fun, I'll do it till I drop. But if it's Work? Where's the fun in that? Yeah, I mean, the thing is that's good for you because it strengthens your muscles. And at the moment, I might switch hands. It's only 20 pounds. Here, Isaac. What is that with one hand? Atta boy. Curl it. Yeah. Now let it go all... Let it go all the way down to your knee and then curl it back up. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Now let's put one up over the head. What do you say? Oh, yeah. Good job. Good job. Go ahead and set her back down there, buddy. Wow. He did that better than I did. Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, you can do this. See, what are you doing? Well, you're doing it halfway. But, you know, this is how you like to do it. It's not as hard. But when you drop her all the way down, and then just dead weight. Ooh. It's work. And it's good for you. But your mind says, how? You know, how is that good for me? Hey, Brother Cisneros. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. Oh, yeah. Feel it, don't you? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, exercise. Yeah, see, we may start a men's exercise gym. Yeah, Brother Cisneros is going to be the leader. You didn't drop it. Exercise. Your turn. Oh, look out now. Don't hurt yourself. Old Timmy's pretty strong. Yeah, Jonathan's waiting for his turn. I went up there and picked that up and looked at it first before I picked it up. I said, well, you know, that's only 20 pounds. Only 20 pounds? Over the head? Did you go over the head? Oh, yeah. 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 All right. Roll it in there. Thanks, sir. All right. What about the ladies? Just 20 pounds. Ryan, do you want to turn? Come over here, buddy. Grab it by both sides. You kind of got the idea. Go ahead. Yeah. I like the determination on their face. That's what I'm looking at. Good job, buddy. Because that first one, they just, yeah, I got this. And that second one, they go, oh, this is getting heavy. And the third one, they're going, and they pull it on up. Anybody else want to give it a whirl? Titus, you want to give it a whirl? Oh, come on. Addison, you want to show him up? Come on. 20 pounds. Just exercise. You know, we can do it just a few times. It's not bad. Oh, come on, buddy. All right. You ready? You got it? Okay. What are you going to do with it? Give it back. That's a good job, buddy. I'm afraid that boy's can't. I'll do it. I'll try it. If I can't do it, I'll make it happen. Exercise. Did you realize the longer you do this? Oh. It doesn't weigh 20 pounds anymore. It weighs 100. You know, I mean, that's how you do it. I mean, it's exercise. Now, I'm going to have to go back up here, set this thing down, get a drink of water, and take a five-minute break. No, I'm just teasing. But see, exercise. Exercise is not something that is joyous all the time. It's something that we need as human beings is exercise. You know, if you don't use it, you lose it. That's just a terminology in bodybuilding, weightlifting, sports arenas, things like that. You just have to bear with me. I am catching my wind. But see, what exercise is not always something that's pleasurable, but it's needful. And you know, God loves to bless us. God loves to overwhelm us with joy. But there are times when He must exercise us by His grace. You see, we talk about grace, and usually when we talk about grace, we talk about our salvation. Because we're saved by grace, not of works that we have done. But it's a grace of God, unmerited favor. grace. And then when we talk about grace, we talk about the grace that God has brought me through and the grace that He protected me. You know, His grace just abounds everywhere around us. And it just reminds me of the song that we sang this morning, Surrounded by You. This is how I fight my battles. I fight them by grace, being surrounded by God. But there are times when grace has to exercise us. Grace has to take us to places we've never been before. Grace has to roll back the protective hand of God. Yeah. Yeah. Grace has to roll back. And the Lord has to allow circumstances to arise to exercise us. You see, trials don't come to defeat us. Trials come to exercise us. Hallelujah. They're not joyous, but yet the Bible says, count it all joy. Hallelujah. Those paradoxes of the Word of God. But the truth is there. The trial may be difficult. The trial may be hard. The test may be unbearable in our own minds. But then as we begin to communicate with God, as we begin then to pray, as we begin to seek the Lord, as we begin to ask of God wisdom, ask of God help in the time of this test, in the time of this trouble, and we then, what are we doing? We're communicating again. Where did this exercise originate from? This exercise originated when the Lord didn't hear you anymore. He didn't hear any communication anymore. And so then in His grace, He came to exercise us. Hallelujah. To check on us. To check our pulse, so to speak. To check our blood pressure, if you will. To check and see how we are doing in our spiritual health. If we've become weak to the flesh, amen, instead of strong to the Spirit. You see, you'll find the terminology is always that direction. If it's towards the flesh, it's weak. If it's towards the Spirit, it's strong. You never have terminology talking about strong flesh. It's always talking about the weakness thereof. Even though in our minds, it's strong, in God's mind, it's weak. Because He knows that if we will exercise our spiritual abilities, that we will be strong. Wow, if we'll lay hold of that weight, and we'll just keep lifting it, and keep lifting it, and keep lifting it. Before you realize it, even with that dumbbell, even with this piece of exercise equipment, the more you pick it up, the more you use it, the more you exercise it, the easier it becomes, and no longer does it feel like 50 pounds. Now it only feels like 20. It just becomes lighter. What happened? Did it really get lighter? Did it really lose weight? No. What happened? You gain strength. You gain power. And now what seems so heavy is now just as easy as can be to exercise and use. Hallelujah. This is what God is after in your life and in my life. He's after spiritual growth. Spiritual growth. Oh my. Proverbs 3:12 says, for whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. Hallelujah. My son and my daughter could only have a dollar for each time I told them this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. they never thought that happened. I don't know. Amen. But that love of that father that Sister Pepper was testifying about, that love of that father where you are so desirous to train your children to be spiritual warriors. So desirous to train your children to be strong in the power of His might, to be strong in God's Word. Hallelujah. Because you know as a parent, that strength in that child is only going to come when it is exercised. This is the hardest part of parenting. This is the hardest part of being a father and a mother, is to have your child or have to watch your child be exercised by grace. Yeah, it is. Because it is in us to intervene. It is in us to bring victory. It is in us to help. It is in us to reach. It is in us to... But when God begins to move in hearts and lives of our children, there are times it's going to have to be hands off. And you're going to have to watch the grace of God exercise. You're going to have to give God that room He needs to build that child. Amen. You don't like it when it's like that way as a father and a mother, but it's going to be that way from time to time. And I'm not picking on teenagers, but you understand, teenagers, those are those years you're searching, you're trying everything, you're pressing everything, you're seeing if the boundaries are really real, and that you're trying to find your own way. And sometimes in that journey, you forget that He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Sometimes as adults, we forget. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Sometimes as adults, we start getting that mentality that we have an understanding now. We have knowledge now. We have experience now. And before we know it, we find that we're not really exercising spiritually. We're just exercising what we know. What we have confidence in. What we're comfortable doing. But spiritual growth always takes us from our comfort zone. You'll never grow in God in your comfort zone. So you might as well get ready. It's time to leave it. Break out of the box. That comfort zone. Hallelujah. And let grace begin to exercise. You see, it doesn't always have to be chastisement. It doesn't always have to be a trial. It doesn't always have to be a temptation. You and I can exercise spiritually, on spiritual grounds, hallelujah, in our communication with God, in our worship, in our prayer, in our Bible study. We can exercise that spiritual man on a continual basis, hallelujah, and God can hear from us continually. Every day. I trust you communicate with God every day. That's just normal for a child of God in a right relationship with God. That's just normal. I'm not saying that you had to stop for an hour and read your Bible for an hour. I'm saying you need to communicate with God every day. When you get up in the morning, realize His mercies are new for that day. And in my mind, if mercies are renewed every morning, that means I'm going to need them through the course of that day. And so then I've got to become mindful of my God in the morning, because that's when mercies are renewed. Because throughout that day, I know not what's coming my way, but God does. And He's made sure that there's mercy there for that day. That means I'm going to need it. Hallelujah. And so then I'm going to begin to exercise my spiritual mind to make sure it's set on following God. Hallelujah. You see, we're living in perilous times. And we're suffering in this hour from what I want to call here tonight, decelerated growth. The word decelerate means to delay or slow down or slow up or hold back or set back, keep back, postpone, put back, detain, put on the brakes, hinder, hamper, obstruct, inhibit, or impede. The opposite of decelerate is accelerate. But we've got this going on here in these last days, decelerated growth. Instead of going forward, it seems to be slowing down. Let me read this to you. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 12. It says, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Are you getting the picture of decelerated knowledge? Paul encountered it. And he said, you should be teaching others, proclaiming. But now you've got to be reminded of the things you first believed and be reestablished in those. And you've moved not on to strong meat, but now you're back to just milk. Wow. What happened? You were doing so well. You don't have to read very far. Go to the book of Galatians. Who hath bewitched you? You were doing so good. But now you've moved down to the realm of the natural. You were walking in the Spirit, but now you're being carnal. Decelerated growth. A.W. Tozer. Probably the most widespread and persistent problem to be found among Christians is the problem of decelerated spiritual progress. Why, after years of Christian profession, do so many persons find themselves no farther along than when they first believed? The causes of decelerated growth are many. It would not be accurate to ascribe the trouble to one single fault. One there is, however, which is so universal that it may easily be the main cause. Here it is. Failure to give time to the cultivation of the knowledge of God. I'm really not sure where this came from. I just have it in my mind of a young child speaking to an adult. And they make this statement, how did you get so old and not know anything? Failure to give time to the cultivation of the knowledge of God. I preached on cultivation here just a little while ago and the effort it takes to cultivate something. I guess we're down to the bottom line here of effort, exercised by grace. See, when I won't put forth the effort, God then begins to come and motivate. I think there was a message preached on that here just recently. Motivation. And see, for each individual, motivation is going to be different, but yet God knows us so well. God knows us so well. He knows exactly what it's going to take to motivate me. He knows exactly what it's going to take to motivate you. And so His grace is going to begin to come on the scene. And He is going to begin to exercise us. Hallelujah. He's going to begin to move in our hearts, our minds, our lives. Messages will be preached. The Spirit of God will move. The Word of God will begin to leap from the pages. Hallelujah. With every opportunity for me to rise up and pick up that thing that I need in my life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sister Pepper realizes when it comes to exercise, it's not really a whole lot of fun. I have to have motivational help. It's evident I need motivational help. Hallelujah. Praise God. And she's my motivator, but sometimes, even though great motivation is there, I just don't feel like it. I just don't do it. See, that's not going to help me. It's not going to help me at all. So then it's up to me to then become self-motivated and do it anyway. And do it anyway. I don't know about you, but there will be times that the enemy will come in like a flood to decelerate you, to overwhelm you. That's what decelerating is all about. You know, when you're driving down the highway, you're not of the persuasion that you decelerate, you accelerate. You're going somewhere, you got to get there. You only decelerate when it is important, like a stop sign or a stoplight or a police officer. Amen. Isn't it amazing? You see a police officer and you're driving down the road, you automatically lift your foot off the foot feet, don't you? You automatically hit the cancel button on the cruise control. It's just habit, you know. He's on his way home or he's on his way to lunch. He's not worried about you at all, but you're worried about him. And you decelerate. But in the kingdom of God, there is really no reason for deceleration. In the kingdom of God, it's press, run, reach, rise. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so we see then the Christian is strong or weak depending on how closely he has cultivated the knowledge of God. This is so important, church. The more you know about God and the more you know about God's Word, the more faith you have and the more worship's going to come from your lips. The less you know about God, the less you understand about God, the less you have a relationship with God, the less you're going to worship and praise God. But if you have a great knowledge of God and realize the greatness of your God and the greatness of your salvation, you're not going to be able to help but give praise and glory and honor and thanksgiving continually, coming from your lips, the fruit of our lips, praising God continually because of the knowledge that we have of our God. Hallelujah. That's why the rocks will cry out. That's why the earth magnifies the Lord, because it has the knowledge of its Creator and the creation that He has made. And they just automatically worship God. But we have a choice. And if we don't know a whole lot about God, we choose wrongly most of the time. You make this statement to a lot of folks and they just look at you and sneer. You can never outgive God. Most folks wouldn't even want to try. I don't want to give. Never outgive God. Give, and it'll be given back to you. The minute you give to God, He's already blessed you. Just the way it works. You cannot outgive God. And there's a lot of people that have turned it into a scheme to make money, but that's not what it's for. It's for you to understand God. And that God rewards those that diligently seek His face. We know that one. That one's preached a lot. But you realize there's a whole lot in this word that if you knew and you understood, that your life would be drastically changed. But see, what we have is a lack of knowledge. Not everybody is willing to cultivate the knowledge of God. Now I'm going to throw this out here tonight. If you're just depending on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Thursday night for all your knowledge of God, you're in a heap of trouble. Number one, pastor's going to meddle. Number one, if it's Sunday school time, you're half awake and half asleep, and you only get half or a quarter of what was said. During church, if you didn't wake up from Sunday school, you're still half asleep and half awake. That's why when we come to worship time, we try to stand up, walk around, you know, come on, exercise a little bit. Woo, get that blood a flow and get it a pumping back to that brain so that eyes will stay open. Hallelujah. You know, now, I've got an advantage. I'm coming from my office, and I'm coming into here. And all I've been doing for that whole time is building this message, looking at this message, praying and seeking God and asking God. And I'm coming out here and I am loaded, I am cocked, and I am ready. Boom! Just to go. See, I wasn't sitting in here. No, yours probably doesn't, Sister Pepper, because it's too cold in there to fall asleep. Praise our God. Now, you know this is real, and you know I'm not picking on you. It's just reality of life. But somewhere along the way, you and I must learn to cultivate the knowledge of God. Every sermon that's preached is put on the website. If you didn't get it, you can go get it again. You don't get it the second time, you can go listen to it a third time. Ample opportunity for knowledge. Amen. Now, if you're like me, a lot of times I'm forgetful. I get the gist of a message. Sometimes after the other ones have preached, I have to go back and ask them, now, what was your title again? So I can put it in the computer. Yeah. Because a lot of times, you know, our mind only processes so much. And I'm normally a pretty fast preacher. But I try to pull it down. So I want us to gain knowledge. Because the more knowledge we have of God, the more truths we know about God, the stronger we'll be in our faith towards God and our faith in serving God. See, a lot of folks don't see the necessity of serving Him because they don't really know that much about Him, even though they've been in church all their lives. That is one thing that has astounded me the most as I've preached across the country and evangelizing and as I encounter individuals of how long they've been in church and how little they know about God. Every individual needs to know the truths of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Because that is what's going to make us strong. And you see, that's what God is interested in. God is interested in bringing knowledge to you and I. God is interested in bringing experience to you and I. God is interested that you and I grow in His grace and grow in His knowledge. God is interested that our spiritual growth be strong and that we become warriors in the army of the Lord, that we become men and women capable of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to every individual we meet. Can you do that? Can you proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to anyone you meet? If you cannot, then this is where you need to bear down and let grace exercise. If you're the one that needs a pattern, then you need Romans Road pattern. You need to get it. I'll provide it to you so that you can gracefully share the good news with whoever you encounter and whenever the need arises. Hallelujah. You see, you got to put in to be able to give out. Hallelujah. And so we must cultivate the knowledge of God. This is why we encourage the Oswald Chambers devotional book, A.W. Tozer devotional book, and some of these older ministers of God, because some of the newer ones are, you know, they just don't have the meat. The newer ones love milk. But what we need is meat. Amen. That life-changing Word of God. Progress in the Christian's life is exactly equal to the growing knowledge we gain in the triune God in personal experience. And such experience requires a whole life devoted to it, Plenty of time spent at the holy task of cultivating God. God can be known satisfactorily only as we devote time to Him. Stop. Think. How much time have you devoted to knowing God? I spoke this morning, made this statement this morning about assumption. A lot of times we just assume everybody knows about God. I'm guilty of it many times. I just assume you understand what I'm preaching. Doesn't mean you do. But I assume you understand what I'm trying to say here tonight. But you know, sometimes I try to say it, maybe don't even get it said to where someone else can comprehend it or understand it. But assumption, we can't assume that we know anything. We've got to assume we know nothing. And we need more. And it doesn't change the fact of what you do know. But the mind frame, and I can't come to that place, well, I've got this. It's not a matter of I've got this. It's a matter, He's got me. He's got me. He can lead me. He can train me. He can exercise me. Hallelujah. His grace can just take me through the fire if I need to go through the fire, because I've got confidence He'll take me through and I'll see on the other side stronger than when I began. Hallelujah. Why do I believe that? Because I've read it all through God's Word. Hallelujah. Everywhere I read about it, I find that God never left nor forsook those who had committed themselves and trusted in Him. He's always there. He'll always keep. He never said the fire wouldn't come. He never said the test wouldn't come. Never said the circumstances that would test our faith would never come. He just said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. No matter where you go, I'll be with you high. I'll be with you low. I'll be with you all the way. But whatever comes your way, I will be there. Hallelujah. The Bible speaks, in fact, uses this terminology. The rain, it comes on the just and on the unjust. We live in this world. It's going to rain. It has been raining. It rained at my house just like it rained at your house. Amen. Even if I didn't want rain, I got it. Hallelujah. Because it was time for rain. So did I just curl up, fold up, go sit in the corner and get mad until it quit raining? Because I didn't want it. Are you following the picture? Rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in only the good things. Rejoice in all things. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, don't fall out with me here, but a lot of times we have to motivate our rejoicing. And we have to put this thought in our mind when things aren't going good for us. We'll say, well, somebody else has probably got it harder than I do. That's not rejoicing. You're just trying to convince yourself it's not that bad. It's bad. But rejoice anyway. Woo, hallelujah. Find your rejoicing not in your circumstance, not in your situation, not in the fact that maybe you've got a little better, even though it's bad, it's better than somebody else. That's still natural communication, natural mind process of just trying to not feel so bad and so angry about it. No. Move on to the spiritual realm. Move on to the rock that is higher than you. Move on into the kingdom of God. Move on and allow the Spirit of God to give you that rejoicing in the midst of the storm. Woo, hallelujah. You see, the reason we can do that is because we can go right here. We can find it in the psalmist David. Hallelujah. We can find it in Abraham. We can find it all through the scriptures of those. We can find it in Peter. We can find it in Paul. I don't know about you, but I've never been put in prison because I preached the gospel. I've been in prison preaching the gospel. But I wasn't put there. I went there. But I've never been stoned. I've never been persecuted to where they put me up before a court system for what I believed and what I preached. Yet. But here's Peter sitting in a prison, in the depths of the prison, with soldiers on each side of him, sound asleep. He must be like me. When you get still, you fall asleep. In prison? Peter did. What about Paul, Silas? You see what I'm saying? The word, the knowledge of the word. These men, these women that the Bible begins to share their stories with us. They're real people with real faith. And they exercise that faith. And that's how they could rejoice in the midst of their turmoil, in the midst of their trial, in the midst of their tribulation. That's how Paul and Silas could begin to pray and find that strength of God. You know, I mean, I know exactly what happened there. Hallelujah. Because it's still the same. They began to pray. They were discouraged. Whoa. I mean, you know, stop and think about it. Man, somebody come jerk you off the street, beat you, boom, boom, boom. Put you down in the prison. Put you in stocks. I'd be discouraged. Oh, my, my, my. Lord. This is probably how their prayer started out. Lord, why did it have to go this way? We were doing great things. I mean, we were seeing people healed. We were seeing demons cast out. Oh, that's right. Paul, there it is. Right there. See, when we cast out that devil, and it made those men mad, and look what they have done. I guarantee you, part of their prayer was, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. The moment they got to that point in prayer, whoo, that's when the Spirit of God began to come down. Why? Because forgiveness was flowing out of their hearts. Hallelujah. They weren't blaming anybody for being where they were, for their circumstances. They were now starting to count it all joy. Hallelujah. To suffer for the cause. In other words, they were getting their minds renewed. Hallelujah. Getting the right mind frame and the right attitude about what was going on. Did it change the pain? Not one bit. Did it change where they were at? Not at this point. Hallelujah. Oh, no, but they began to keep on praying. And then that prayer burst into worship and magnifying of God. And when worship starts coming out, singing is the next thing that begins to happen. And here they are, down in probably one of the hardest trials they've ever been in, and they are now singing, praising, and magnifying God, and enjoying the presence of the Holy Ghost of God, and hallelujah, I really believe this, they're feeling no pain now. Woo! They're feeling no pain right now. Hallelujah. Why? Because the Spirit of God is helping them. Praise God. And Brother Cisneros, bless your heart. You're preaching it right. We would have stopped right there. God's moving. God's bless us. I'm feeling good. All right, let's go to sleep. We would have stopped right there. But they didn't stop. They just kept on singing. They just kept on praising. And when God saw they weren't stopping, God said, they can't outdo me. Hallelujah. Woo, praise God. And so he just shakes the place, opens all the doors, and takes all the chains off. Hallelujah. Because they just wouldn't stop magnifying God and let grace exercise their lives. Woo, hallelujah. Praise be to our God. But see this, are you getting the picture? This is why we can do it. This is where our faith comes from. See, it's not faith we pull out of the air somewhere. No, we pull it right from the pages of God's holy word. And know that he's the same yesterday and forever. What he did for Paul and Silas, he'll do for you. But you see, sometimes he has to move in grace to keep motivating me to go closer. keep motivating me to praise longer. Keep motivating me to pray longer. Keep motivating me to read more. Read more. Being exercised by His grace. Hebrews 12 and 5. It says, "Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" Exercise by grace. In other words, building spiritual muscles, if you will. What is faith? Faith is spiritual muscle. Faith that moves mountains is strong spiritual muscle. Amen. Hallelujah. And you see, just because you don't feel like you can move a mountain right now, doesn't mean you'll not be able to move one later. Hallelujah. Everybody has to have a starting point. Everybody has to have a place where they commit to the cause. Commit to Christ. Commit to the Lord. Everybody's got that point in time in their life when they've just been floating along in the grace of God. But then God comes with that same grace, calling for a decision. Calling for a commitment. Calling for consecration. Calling for dedication. Calling for sacrifice that you've never really done before. And that's grace. Because if He leaves you in that spot, He knows you'll decelerate. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's not talking about necessarily going to hell. That's talking about spiritual life. Is that not what He told Adam and Eve? The moment you eat of the tree, the knowledge of good and evil, ye shall die. But they were still breathing. But something happened, and they lost that oneness with God. They lost that unity with God. They were separated from God, and now no longer did they have that holy fear of God in a relationship with God, but they had an earthly carnal fear of the judgment of God. You see, they died spiritually. You see, if you're afraid of God to the point you won't move with God, that's where Adam and Eve were. Whoa. But you see, that new life and that Spirit of God and that new creature in Christ is not afraid of God. It has a fear of not being with God. That new creature was created in Christ Jesus, was bringing me back to the place where Adam and Eve were before they fell. They wanted to be in the presence of God. They wanted to have fellowship with God. They wanted to meet God in the cool of the day. But when sin came in, they didn't want to be in that position. They didn't want to be in that place. They knew God was real. That's why they were hiding. You see, Christ has brought us to this place where no longer do we have to hide from God, but we go right into His presence through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's why that born-again experience has to be there. That's why regeneration has to be there. That's why the new creature in Christ must be created in us. Otherwise, we are always just fearful instead of honoring and entering in. You see, grace then comes to begin to exercise us. One thing that exercise shows forth. You see, when I went up here to get this, I knew there was only 20 pounds on it. And I thought, all right, that'd be a breeze. And I picked it up. oh, man, I don't think that's what it used to be. I can remember in my younger years, 20 pounds, I take that, throw that around, Here we go. All right, we got to show all these young people how strong the pastor is. Okay, all right, where's the ibuprofen? Praise God. Woo! You see, a lot of times we think we are. We think we have. But God has to come with His grace and show us what we really got. And we will always realize we don't have what we thought we had. And we're not near as strong as we thought we were. We're not near as spiritual as we perceived we were. And thus His grace begins to come and reveal that to us as it exercises us. Praise God. I've got to shut this down and close this down, but one of the very first times in my mind that I was exercised by grace was just a very short period of time after I had gotten saved. We were building a barn on the farm, and at that point and period of time, we did not have an air nailer. We did not have an electric coil nailer. We did not have any type of power tool other than the tool we powered. We were putting it all together with hammer and nails. And I had climbed up all the way to the top, to the bottom of the truss, was nailing on a 2x6. And we were using, I think, 20, what would have been like a 20-penny ring shank nail to nail into a electric pole that we had gathered up from the REC. They'd been around a long time. And we built a barn out of all of them. And I'm up here hanging by. I had my arm wrapped around that board because I'd already put a nail in it. I'd had my arm wrapped around it, holding the nail. I had my legs on the one below. I was leaning back, and I had a 20-ounce framing hammer. I'm eyeballing that nail, and this is just how we were on the farm. She's going in with one hit. She's going in. This is going to be the one. You start it, half inch. You still got about four and a half inches to go. She's going in first hit. My brothers were there. She's going in.
That's back in 20 pounds with nothing. I reared back. I sighted in on that, and I hit that as hard as I could.
And I did not move my hand near soon enough. And actually, I missed the nail altogether and hit the other nail. I smashed my thumb big time. Did it all myself. Hit it as hard as I could. I can feel it now. Hallelujah. But I had me one rejoicing time. I'm serious. Because before I had gotten saved, the words that would have come out of my mouth would have been ungodly. And here I hung on the side of this barn with my thumb throbbing like it never throbbed before. And those thoughts hit my mind. I said, I ain't talking like that anymore. Not today. And at that moment, the Spirit of God just came on me. And I just began to rejoice hanging on the side of that barn with my thumb throbbing. Now you tell me you can't rejoice in the midst of pain. You come too late to tell me. Why? Because it was a exercise of grace. I'd been nailing nails on that barn for days. Never once did I do something like that. How did that happen? I have no idea, but it did. But it also brought a greater faith in my heart and in my life of the power that God can give to overcome Hallelujah. To overcome that old man. Hallelujah. See, exercised by grace is some of those times that happen. You don't know how they happen. You don't know why they happened. Sometimes it's that flat tire at that most unexpected moment, that most unneeded moment, and you're wondering, why now? Well, you're being exercised by grace to see if God's Word is dominating your thought pattern. Your response. Do you respond in throwing a fit? Or do you respond in changing your flat, thanking God you didn't throw the fit? Woo! Praise God. Exercise by grace. Victory after victory, wasn't it, Brother Lucas? It testified about the victories that God has for us. I don't know about you, but you know, a lot of times when I'm thinking of victory, I'm thinking of great battles and large battles and strong things. And hey, if you bit your tongue when you normally say things you shouldn't say, that's victory. And you can rejoice. That's miraculous. Woo, hallelujah. Are you getting the picture? Are you getting the understanding? A lot of times we think victory is something way out there and great big. No, it's just everyday living for Jesus Christ. When you throw a fit and you don't, you got victory. Hallelujah. Oh, when you breathe out threatenings and you don't, you got victory. Hallelujah. Been exercised by grace. And you have just gotten stronger because you made the choice not to. And that makes you feel so good that you start rejoicing. Praise God. Exercised by grace. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous. Zealous. Ah, zealous of good works. This is a good work. This is good for the body. It's not easy, but it's a good work. The Bible didn't call us to easy works. The Bible called us to good works. And I have found most of the good works require self-denial. And they are not easy. You see, it wasn't easy that day hanging on that barn to not let the old man have his way. But I did. And the Lord blessed me for it. And this is what I begin to learn. That every time I do that good work, he will bless me for it. Every time grace comes to exercise me and I allow it to exercise me, and I respond to that grace, he'll bless me for it. He'll bless me for it. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, it's just astounding. You could write a book and it would astound me at the grace of God in your life. I could write a book and it would astound you at the grace of God in my life. Because every one of us have experienced it in abounding ways. Hallelujah. Hebrews 12 and 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. See, it's not always fun. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. When it starts, it's not joyous. It's grievous. But when I respond to that grace of God, afterward, it yields peaceable peace. Peaceable fruit of righteousness. In other words, I did what was right. And it brings the peace of God into my heart and into my soul, which then brings joy. Hallelujah. So here's the grounds where and why I always say to rejoice, and you can rejoice even when it's hard, because we're being exercised by grace. And as we respond to that grace and to that exercise in the right manner, the right attitude, the right way, according to God's word, according to that new man, it brings that peace of righteousness, which always brings joy. I mean, stop and think about it. All through your life, when you did something right, I hope you got praised for it. I hope you got commended for it. Because that's what God does for us. Now, when we don't do it right, we have condemnation. We feel guilty. But when we do right and we pick up that good work, it brings peace. We feel good. And that brings joy. Joy. But see, that's what we've got to learn. How many like feeling miserable all the time? But that's what helps me do right. Because I don't like it when I'm miserable. I'd rather have peace and I'd rather have joy than I would have misery. Hallelujah. And so what is that? That is motivation. That is motivation to do what's right. Because I like the peace of God and I love the joy of God. But I do not like it when He is not happy. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. When God is happy, I'm happy. Pleasing the Lord is what brings peace and joy. Responding to grace in righteousness is what brings peace and joy. It may not always start there. And I guess this is where I need to always make myself clear. Because usually the first rattle out of the box, we're mad, we're angry, we're frustrated. It's kind of like the son that was asked to go work in the field and he said, I don't want to go do that. I'm tired of that. I'm just kind of embellishing a little bit. I did that yesterday and I sure got my fill of it. I don't want to go. And then the other son says, oh, yeah, I'll go. Yeah, I can do it. I'm the best. I got this. I can do this. And then dad walks out the door and he flops down. Yep, I said the right thing. And the other one said, oh, I didn't. I said the wrong thing. I shouldn't have responded that way and got up and went to the field. Which one did right? The one that said the right things, or the one that said the wrong things, but then turned around and did the right things? You see, most of the time it starts out like that. When it happens, it just depends on how you respond, react. Then you stop. And you realize, no. I ain't going that road. I ain't going that route. I ain't going that way. I'm going to do what's right. Praise God. That's all God wants. That's all He wants. Amen. Just because you make a mistake to start with, you rectify and go the right direction. That's what He's after. That's what He's after. That individual says, oh yeah, I'm going to do right tomorrow. Yep, yep, I've got this. I'm going to do right tomorrow. Tomorrow I will get this done. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. There will never be a tomorrow. What happened? Well, you forgot to say, I'm not doing this right. I'm going to do it right now. That's what brings the peace. That's what brings the power. That's what brings the joy. Hallelujah. And there's no greater joy in the whole wide world than to experience the Spirit of God coming down on your soul when you have done righteously for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Stand with me tonight. Hallelujah. Exercised by grace. Hallelujah. Those little things, those bumps in the road, those things that irritate us, frustrate us, why do they keep coming? Because we need to be exercised by grace until we respond correctly. Hallelujah. When we learn to respond correctly, those probably will not come anymore. But we will move on to 25 pounds. Because if you've exercised 20 and you've done it consistently, what do? You add 5 more and you start exercising that. And guess what? You've done gotten stronger than you thought you could. And when you've exercised that for quite a while, what do? You slap 5 more and you exercise that. What are you doing? You're building your strength. Hallelujah. When we have exercised certain areas of our lives, we will move on to the new area, to the next area in our spiritual growth. You see, it won't be growth until it's tested. And when it's tested and tried, and victory is ours, it becomes spiritual growth. The test is not the growth. The test is what brings the strength. But when I take it all the way through, and I say yes to the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and it's on a continual, then it becomes spiritual growth. Hallelujah. O God of heaven, exercise away. Your grace is sufficient. Your grace has saved us. Your grace will keep us. And it is your grace that will exercise us, that we might be strong in the power of your might, wise to the things of the kingdom of God, that we might be able to give an answer to all those that would ask of us the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Praise our God. Exercised by faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have you now maybe realized that you've been in the exercise room? God has been moving, working to strengthen you, encourage you, and to help you come to a place of decision. Following him farther than you've ever followed before. Let's come around these altars here tonight and let's voice this to the Lord. Let's communicate with our God. Hallelujah. Oh God of heaven, Lord, let the exercises begin.
In the crushing.